You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The years come and go, but they always keep coming.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, at the end of this old year and the beginning of the new, give us strength, your strength, to face everything. With faith to trust you, give us love to serve you and also one another. Help us to look through all the dark clouds and see the brightness of your grace and glory in the face of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. The end of another year is approaching, and the beginning of another year is at hand. The years come and go, but they always keep coming. The other day I was sitting in an airport with a clock in full view. I glanced at the clock to see how much time was left before we would board the plane. A very short time later, it seemed only a moment or two, I glanced at the clock again, and 5 minutes had passed by. Nothing can stop that clock. It keeps right on running. If the clock stops, time keeps right on running. That can be an exhilarating prospect for someone who is waiting for something to happen. It can also be depressing for someone who remembers all the missed opportunities that have passed by. At the end of his letter to the Philippians, who had been very kind to him, Paul thanked these people. He said, "You care for me. Please don't take it amiss that I'm thanking you for what you did just now," he said. "You always cared about me, but you never had any chance to show it before. I did not feel neglected before, but I certainly feel wonderful now. I have learned to be satisfied with what I have. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have more than enough. I have learned the secret of life, that anywhere, at any time, I am always satisfied, whether I am full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little. I'm ready for everything through Him who empowers me. At any time and in any place, I have an inner strength in Him who empowers me. I am ready for anything through Christ who empowers me." That's not the talk of a bragger proclaiming his own virtues and protesting that people do not recognize how great he is. It's a simple statement of fact, without braggadocio, with a clear eye for the realities of life. This man sleeps well at night and gets up cheerfully the next morning. With the courage to look back upon the past, he's not worried about the future. He's going to do his duty today, and he's quite sure that tomorrow will turn out all right. St. Paul discovered the secret of life, the same one the psalmist had discovered. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That psalm became the basis of Martin Luther's great hymn, Ein feste Burg ist unser Gott, ein gute Wehr und Waffen. A mighty fortress is our God, a sturdy shield to defend, and a powerful force to overcome. This has always been the word of faith. It is as true today as it has always been, when the winds of conflict are blowing and the rumors of war are flying, when the foundations are cracking and the earth is shaking, when promises are failing and prospects look bleak. The dawn of faith discloses the fact that the sun is still rising and the warmth is still coming. It is the rising of the Son of the living God, and the warmth of God's love disclosed to the whole world in His Son, Jesus Christ. It is still happening every day, and it will happen every day until the end of time. Jesus Christ Himself celebrated the coming of the new year, just as you do. He celebrated it in His own way, with quiet confidence in His Father. He's got the whole world in His hand, and He knows what He is doing. It is a fact of history that Jesus Christ was here to celebrate the new year and to live life as it must be lived. It is a fact of faith that He's right here now to help you celebrate the new year. He helps His people celebrate what others will try to drown in the mindless frolic that only proclaims the folly of humanity. Faith in God has its frolic too. It's not mindless. It is both thoughtful and joyful. It's a great joy to me in the Lord, said St. Paul, that after not seeing you for such a long time, you should remember me with such kindness. I just want you to know how I am getting along. I have learned how to get along with a little and also how to appreciate a lot. Everywhere and always, I have learned to be satisfied, no matter how other people may be reacting to the ups and downs of life. I face everything with the strength of the Lord. Ask yourself for a moment, what did St. Paul lack that you have in such abundance? He lacked the capacity for worry that so many people have developed to such a high degree. They don't feel comfortable unless they are worrying about something. They don't feel right unless they are criticizing something or somebody else, because that gives them something to worry about. The mark of our age is the line of concern that runs across the brow. If you don't have that line, people think there's something wrong with you. A friend of mine talked to an elderly man some time ago who was worrying about his waning strength, his limited income, and ever-increasing inflation. My friend reminded the old gentleman that God is in control, and you can depend upon Him in faith. What's more, God takes care of those who depend upon Him in faith. That does not mean that people of faith don't have any work to do. Old or young, we all have work to do. We must use the intelligence and the capacity God gives us in order to do what He gives us to do. The absence of worry does not mean the absence of work. Working joyfully, doing the work of today, and letting the work of tomorrow take care of itself is God's way of erasing the lines of worry across the brow. Jesus Himself said, because He knew His Father, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough anxieties of its own." To my young friend who was talking to that old gentleman, the man replied, "But these are really serious problems I'm worrying about." That's the way a lot of people react to the power of God. They have the idea that He is in control of the little things, but they have to take care of the big things. Actually, it's the other way around. People can't go to sleep at night because of the questions that bother them. How in the world will I ever be able to do that? What will happen to me if such and such takes place? What if I can't? Suppose I don't? What if they? Suppose he? And the next day dawns, and instead of feeling refreshed, ready to face life and its challenges, you feel tired, groggy from lack of sleep, not at all alert and confident, with a gnawing worry that has eroded the very heart of life which faith in God gives. There's nothing wrong with thinking ahead. There's nothing wrong with planning ahead. Don't be surprised, however, if things turn out a good deal differently from the way you thought and the way you planned. Don't put your heart on things, for a person's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Don't be taken in by all that thinking ahead, which destroys sleep and peace of mind, yet accomplishes nothing. That is what worry really is. Paul was not worried. "I have complete confidence in God," he said, "that he knows what he is doing and that he will do what he plans to do. This is what he did when he sent his son into the world." Paul was always talking about that. "This is what his son did when he was crucified." Paul was always talking about that. "The Son of God took the sins of the world into his own heart, and he gave his heart to God his Father." Everything turned out just fine for him, because God knows what he is doing and has the power to do what he wants to do. God has given that same power to all who put their confidence in what Christ has done for them. If Christ died for our sins, then our sins are forgiven. That's the way faith talks. It is taking into your own heart what Christ has done for you. Faith in Christ eliminates the lines of worry because of what God will do for you. He will do for you what he did for his own son, who now has you by his hand. That's what faith is, having Christ by the hand. It's Christ taking your hand and you grasping his. With a grip like that, you can say, "I can face everything with the strength that God gives. The Lord, even Jesus Christ, is my strength." That's some strength. You don't have to feel anymore, "I can't take it, I can't stand it, I can't cope with it." As St. Paul said, there isn't anything you can't take, you can't stand, you can't cope with. God's strength is able to take care of everything. His is the power of the universe that keeps the planets on their courses and the earth in its orbit. With God's strength, you can live, not crippled by worry and fear. The God who forgives the past is the same God who guarantees the future in his hand. The future never fails. Paul found all of this in Jesus Christ. That's why we keep telling people about Jesus Christ. I don't ever tell people to follow me, but to follow Jesus Christ. Paul found that Jesus Christ is alive after having been crucified. He did not come down from the cross. He died on the cross. He died for the sins of the world, as the scripture said he would. He was actually buried. The third day he arose from the dead, as the scripture said he would. He is the Son of the living God, with power to save people from their failures and their fears. Anyone who believes in him has life, eternal life. This is the message of Jesus Christ that Paul went out to proclaim. He did not just sit there waiting for the Lord to use him. He used his own head, his energy, and all the skills he could muster. He kept on giving the message and carrying out the mission. It meant giving up a lot, a comfortable life, his home, his security. He faced tremendous opposition, persecution, imprisonment, beatings, and poverty. But he was still the richest man in the world. He had in his own heart the riches of Christ. Don't tell me that all of this is just talk. It has produced the greatest revolution in the history of the world. Others have learned how true it is. I'm able to face anything with this faith in the Lord. He empowers me. The Lord did not say, "Don't worry, Paul. Nothing bad will happen to you. Everything is going to be just fine." It was fine, of course, but not in the way people usually expect. It was real happiness, but not the kind that a lot of people expect. There were toil and trouble. There were weakness and sickness. It was tough, but there was always God. And there was always Jesus Christ, in whose face you see the glory of God. "When I am weak," said Paul, "I have learned that I'm really strong. I have learned what God said to me. My grace is made perfect in your weakness." Paul learned something that really bucked him up. "I can do all things. I can face every situation. I can meet every problem in the power of him who is my strength. God is our strength." Faith is not an insurance policy against disaster. We are all human, and believers carry their humanity with them, just as unbelievers do. But underneath those believers in Christ are some everlasting arms that never let go. No one is exempt from crises, disappointments, sorrows, and frustrations. Without being blithely optimistic, you can take things as they come. You can walk with courage because God walks with you. As St. Paul found out for himself, if God is for us, who can be against us? The winner in the race is not the fellow who, to save his energies, has his mother serve his meals in bed. To save him the effort of chewing, he wants her to serve him only milkshakes. And to save his muscles, he asks his parents to drive him everywhere he has to go. That's no way to build strong muscles. God wants his children to exercise their muscles. He wants us all to exercise our mental muscles. To help us grow emotionally, he allows us to make our own decisions and to meet our own failures. In the end, that's the method to develop strength. God uses it all the time with his people. God is our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He is there when you need him. He is there with his strength. And that is some strength. He has the strength to forgive you. He forgives you for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. Trust in the Lord. Take the gift of forgiveness and face the future without fear, with faith in the Lord. Let me say it for myself and also for you. God loves me. God cares for me. He sent his Son Jesus to die for me. Raising Jesus from the dead, God accepts me as I am. I shall live with him forever. He's with me right now. I lean on his strength. He knows the future just as he has forgiven the past. He has the power and the love to keep me in all my tomorrows. God will never fail me or forsake me. I can depend on him for security, for eternal life. I shall not worry about the future. His ways may not be my ways and his thoughts not my thoughts, but he knows best. His way is the best way for me. As my grandchildren pray when they sit down for a meal, God is great and God is good. And we ask him to bless our food. He certainly is. God is my strength. God is our strength, yours and mine. He's our health and our salvation. Written on the banners of Christ's army are these words: God is our strength. Join the ranks, my friend. Fall in and join the song of marching millions. I can face everything in Christ who strengthens me. Now, good New Year to you in the strength of the Lord. Amen.